The Movie Star's Secret. A man from Heartland Plumbing surveyed my postage stamp of grass this morning, searching for water, a modern-day dowser looking for a leak in the system. Any reason why a million gallons flushed through the pipes last month to drop a $6,522 bill in my lap? Like all of us, he searches for the answer, but rarely finds what he's looking for. He keeps at it. Water witching his way through a lonely job, a divining rod of uncertainty pointing towards the heart of the matter. God knows man is alone, a defective temperament walking the earth forever. I followed behind the meter man, bending his ear, kicking up dew as we wedged between the azaleas and steed hollies, watching the gauge's nervous jiggle. I worried he may need to dig up the yard. I realized my chatter was irritating to this rebel of the Vergala Divinia, as Sebastian Munster would call him. Muck-caked boots on the porch. Inside, I channel-surfed until snared by her lonesome face. Chicago, winter 1991. For 20 minutes, I barely noticed the woman cheering for Duke until her high five on a critical Christian Laettner three-pointer. And perhaps because I had paid so little attention, she found me interesting, maybe even attractive. Somehow, through a shower of potato skins, burgers, and beer, a happy hour of solitary people laying over in a snowstorm, but not as isolated as the lone woman of San Nicolas, who, first discovered in 1853 by an unlikely otter hunter, died just weeks later. Or the spider monkey man choosing to be left alone, the last survivor of his anonymous Brazilian tribe. 30 miles deep, he knows there is no God in the jungle, no woman named Eve. He waits for his new journey. I have been poor and lonely most of my life. No money for the smallest bauble. At O'Hare, I'd planned to sleep in the terminal, scrunched up with a duffel bag for comfort, alone with strangers claiming a corner or a tight angle of wall, carved out plot of relief for the ugly who stare, singular in laughter for the disaster in our lives. It is loneliness that drives us to make small talk, because, as Mother Teresa understood, the most terrible poverty is loneliness. No one will admit to being alone as they jabber about their hometown and what waits for them back in Blissville. What else do we have to travel on if not faith that eternity holds the comfort of others? Clapping and cheering college basketball on Saturday, big screen TVs scattered throughout the airport, I paid no attention to this woman, completely disengaged in the clean, clear lights of waitresses humping it for a good tip. How could I or anyone have recognized the Hollywood glamour through the dark hair, baseball cap, and rimmed glasses of disguise? How could anyone of the world's beautiful people compete with college basketball? One bar stool away, she spoke first, casually, "Who are you cheering for?" "Duke, of course." She was visiting, returning to California after her childhood friend's wedding, now a schoolteacher in the same high school where they kissed in the library. She bought the first round of Ham's winter stock. So many years have passed, my withered heart has a hard time recognizing that I'm even alone anymore, just a natural extension of this thickening crust. To most people, I'm just a stick. A thrown rock, kicked away dirt on a shoe. She and I talked. I never considered anyone would be interested in anything about me. I think of Octavio Paz, who understood how only man knows he's alone, which must mean the other animals think each are a powerful god. Still, unaware, I asked if we went to school together. It's possible. I once lived in Chicago for a few laps around the calendar. I had no idea she was 6 months removed from a tabloid divorce, laying low into a quiet life, her new film starting in a month. What draws people together? Some magnet of curiosity? We like to imagine ourselves as being the center of the universe, where we can be anyone from anywhere in our imagined lives when traveling to foreign countries or just across town. The excitement of pretending to be someone else. But the truth is, no one knows or cares who we are. I was 6 weeks away from meeting my wife on a blind date. My grandfather walked his backyard with a witch hazel branch shaped like a Y, gripped loosely in each hand, bent as crooked as a politician. He searched for water the city told him didn't exist. The well had dried, and for more money than God has, they would connect him at the street. Billy boy, I know there's water here. See this? As the divining rods X'd like magnets over the aquifer of biblical proportion. We rabbit crossed the backyard, his nagging wife in tow, past the Macintosh and Granny Smith trees, leaf full and sweet canopy of drooping fruit hanging on slugged branches, low enough for a boy with a baseball bat. She dropped a dime to her agent. I'm staying one more night. Then she whispered in my ear her name, removed her glasses, ball cap, shook her hair like some wild thing, then quickly back on as her soft breath brought the marquee lights alive, lifting high in big Marilyn Monroe letters the dazzle and glitter of Rodeo Drive. Isn't this why we explore the world? To find what makes us whole, another person to tumble down the hill with. 2 hours from O'Hare. She usually traveled with a bodyguard, but not at home, where family laughter echoes from the kitchen, where she's still her parents' little girl, the unsophisticated expectations of farm life. How she can walk downstairs in her flannel pajamas, kiss her mother, scold her father for eating too much bacon. Later, in the garage, pumping her bicycle tires, she rides down a gravel road to visit old friends who work their family farm. Her sisters still tease her, a perpetual initiation into the club of womanhood, how she dyed her hair midnight black for the junior prom. To earn money for an acting class, she delivered 64 newspapers over the rambling back roads of Cinderstone, 17 miles on a second-hand Huffy before quitting after 3 days. What was I to do? I could only smile and laugh at my ignorance because I have always been just a man who needed a marquee sign the size of the Hollywood billboard, or a woman standing naked in front of me to understand my next move. I'd seen most of her movies, because she's the kind of woman men desire, but fear talking to. There's no way to compete with whatever is out there in her other world. Man with so much money, it's as if I'm drowning on a raging river, and the cure for my loneliness is a tow line of barbed wire. At our quiet table, she sat with her back to the crowd, a position of vulnerability. She hadn't been kissed in more than a year. The dark cloud of marriage holding her inside her Malibu home, retreating into a quieter world, reading movie scripts and novels, some traveling. Next morning, after room service, she asked me to covet our secret time together. She did not need any publicity. What courage must be drummed up to curb the desire there is not to be alone in the world? There was a boy in high school she had a crush on, but now, being famous, it's difficult to call, because what if he's married? How does his wife, with curlers in her hair and baby spilling food on the floor, compete with a movie star calling her husband, if just to say, hello, how have you been doing? The man from Heartland Plumbing drove a 10-foot metal stake through the heart of my Bermuda grass, through red clay and builder-grade landfill refuge, searching for moisture underground, seepage, but found none. My grandfather, never to be misled or cheated, refused to pay the city, and for years the water petered out the tap. When she kisses a leading man on screen, a man who is tall, with an ivory smile, abs and pecs of Adonis, with hair bouncing in wild abandon, lucid syllables flowing from his lips, does she think of me? I know a secret. how an ordinary guy sitting in a Chicago airport bar can bump into a glamorous Hollywood actress and forever fold up into a little square of memory everything we have always wanted to brag about to our buddies. That one of us broke through to that mysterious island, if just for one moment.